a professor yet, but as a student. So I'm going to have some true confessions. This is me about when I was your age. Now, they say that that in a student's life, there are three areas, right? You have your studies, you have your social life, and you might have work. Your social life can be your family or your friends, but they also say that, you can only do two with excellence. So which two would you choose? Well, true confessions, I wasn't a very good student. I would always choose social life, right? And then I had to work. I had to work either a part-time job or a full-time job, so my studies was always third, and I was never excellent at it. Now, to be fair, I have five brothers and three sisters. So my parents had 9 children in 11 years. So they didn't care about school. They just wanted us to stay alive. So they didn't look at our studies. They never looked at our report cards. So it was up to us whether we wanted to study or not. And I was the world's laziest student. So when I was called to the ministry, I knew I had to go to college. I never wanted to go to college, so I went to college. And at the beginning of the semester, the professor gives you the syllabus. So I would look through the syllabus, I would think, oh, requirements are just suggestions. What grade do I want? So I would say, okay, I'm not going to get an A. So do I want a B or a C? So I would go through the syllabus and cross off things. I don't need that. I don't need to do that. Because I was the world's laziest student. Just relax, it's okay. In fact, I remember I was so focused on my grade. You know, if I was gonna get a C, I was gonna get a C. I was gonna get a good C. And one time we had a chapel and I didn't go. And in my next class, I think it was New Testament theology, the professor spent the whole time talking about chapel. And I kept thinking, I didn't go. What if it's on the exam? So all the students were discussing how controversial it was. And finally, the professor said, are there any more questions? I said, is it going to be on the exam? Are we accountable for this? And he said, only in heaven, Eileen. Because I was so focused on the grade. And so when I became a doctorate student, I thought, I have to change. I have to change, right? I'm a professor. I need to learn how to be a good student. So my very first class in my doctorate program was on hermeneutics, tracing Missio Dei from Genesis to Revelation. And it was one of those classes that was only 5 days, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you had to do all the reading before the class, right? So I got my books. I read every single book. I was such a good student. I had all my books, and I was ready. And I got my computer, and I was going to pay attention to everything the professor said. I was going to memorize the syllabus, because now I'm a doctorate student. So I got my computer out. My professor, Dr. Easter, is a missionary to Africa. This was at the Assembly of God Seminary in America, and all of the students in the class were from all over the world, just like here. And so I thought, I have to be serious. So we sit around the table, there's about 10 of us, and I start taking notes, and I'm typing everything the professor said. I typed everything on the PowerPoint. I know I got the PowerPoint, but I'm going to type it too. So I'm typing, typing, typing. So it started at 8 a.m., and he starts Genesis 1:1, right? Tracing the mission of God all the way from Genesis to the end of Revelation. So he's talking and lecturing, and then he would say, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then he would keep talking and say, hallelujah. And then about 20 minutes after class began, he said, everybody on your feet. How can we breathe another breath? How can we say another word until we give praise God to this? this is the best thing we're going to hear all day. So all the students jump out of their seats and they have their hands in the air and they're praising God for God's mission. They're praising God for the mission of God in Genesis. So I look around and I don't know what to do. So I save my notes and I stand up. And people, it's Assembly of God. In the Assembly of God, they believe in speaking in tongues and loud prayers. So they're speaking in tongues and they're praying loudly. And I just stand up and I do what I call the Nazarene stance. And so I... Yes, Lord, this is very good. Yes, this is very good. It caught me off guard because I was thinking, I wasn't a good student. I need to be a good student to really understand. I need to know these things. But what I discovered is the lazy student and the good student had left the Holy Spirit out of the studies. What I also discovered was past Dr. Easter, he would do that about 5 times a day. So that was the first time. An hour later, he did the same thing. So by Friday, I'd been in class 8 hours for 4 days on Friday morning when he said, "Everybody stand up." I stood up. "I put your hands in the air." I put my hands in the air. "This is the best stuff you're going to hear all day." "Yes, Lord, we're in Revelation, and this is the best stuff I will hear all day." And I was able to have the freedom to see clearly in the content of the books and the content of his lecture, the Holy Spirit's work. So I started to think about that. What did I do with the... There is an enchantment that the Holy Spirit gives us, right? It's not just a feeling of peace. He enchants us with a way of engaging in the world. And sometimes it looks crazy, but sometimes it looks like there's interest and flavor to life. So we know, and I'm not a New Testament scholar, but we know the functions of the Holy Spirit, right? The functions of the Holy Spirit is that it reveals God to humanity. It appropriates salvation, and he energizes our Christian life. And I like this quote. It's actually from Catholic Catechism, but it says, "The Spirit prepares people and goes out to them with his grace in order to draw them to Christ. The Spirit manifests the risen Lord to them, recalls his word to them, and opens their minds to the understanding of his death and resurrection." So as I think about the enchantment of the Holy Spirit, as I'm reading, as I'm studying, it's different than just studying math or studying history or studying a language. Because I've invited the enchantment of the Holy Spirit to use what I'm reading to show me the best thing that I can learn all day. Now, there's a professor named Parker Palmer. Parker Palmer wrote a book called The Courage to Teach. And what he talked about was he was very relational, and he would get up to teach a college class, but there would always be one student, right, who would always try to lay down in his seat. And all he could focus on was that one student. Why can't I get them to pay attention? Why can't I engage them? And he found that he was forgetting the other students by trying to engage that one student. So he asked himself, why do I come to class? What is the purpose of this class? So he said, what is the center of a course? Is the center of a course the student? Are they in the center? Is that the reason we teach, for the student? Is the center of the course the professor? So you come to the course and sit there and listen to everything that the professor has prepared, so they are at the center of the course? Parker Palmer says, what is it? What is the center? And so he said, in every course, it doesn't matter what the subject, it can be language, it can be art, it can be music, or history, or math, or chemistry, the center of every course is the great idea. So the great idea is what you come to each class for. And the great idea is different for every course. But the professor is a little closer to it. They've spent more time looking at it, thinking about it, studying it. But you're there, and they're there for the great idea. And so that is the purpose of the course. That is at the center. So if the purpose of the course is Hebrew, so the great idea is to understand Hebrew, so the professor has spent more time, but the course is not for you and the course is not for the professor. The course is to unpack and examine from all different sides this amazing topic of Hebrew. Well, I want to say that in all of our courses, actually, I think the great idea is that God is reconciling creation to himself. That when we look at Genesis all the way through Revelation, the mission of God is that he's reconciling creation to himself. So when we go to class, if it's Hebrew, if it's Luke and Acts, no matter what the topic is, that's the great idea, right? So as I'm a student and I'm reading about it and I'm thinking about it, do I invite the Holy Spirit to talk to me about this great idea? Do I unpack it and see what it looks like in this culture, in my culture? Do I try to think about what that means for somebody who's never heard about Jesus? Or do I think about it, what it means about taking care of the environment? What does it mean, the great idea? So this is a scripture that that Professor Judy read. And let me just emphasize these verses. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, goes into the deepness of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So I was thinking about that the Spirit goes into the depths of God and then goes into the depths of us. And it doesn't make sense if we're not focused on the great idea. I was teaching a class, and there were students in there who were atheists and Muslim and Buddhists from all over the world. And I was telling them a story about how the Holy Spirit told me something, told me to give away my car. And I didn't obey, and so I was having an argument with the Holy Spirit. And later, my student came up to me, and he said, he was an atheist. He said, remember that day you talked about giving away your car? I wrote in my notes that my professor has mental illness. She is schizophrenic. Because it doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense that God's Spirit would talk to my spirit. It looks like foolishness. But when we engage the Holy Spirit, something else happens. We were reminded at our conference in Thailand that we are vessels of the Holy Spirit. We actually embody the Holy Spirit in us. And I lived in Taiwan many years ago, and one of my roommates, she was much more spiritual than I was. And the Nazarene Bible College is on top of a mountain in Taipei, and right underneath it is one of the largest temples in Taiwan. It's a Tao Buddhist temple, and it's an awful place. It's built into the mountain, and there's caves and rooms that you can walk through. They have temple prostitutes that live in the temple, and they wear what we'd say negligees and stand outside and do dances for the spirits. And people go and burn ghost money there, and if they want their child to pass an exam or something, they will buy the ghost money and burn it and do what we call bye-bye. They have young men who are 17, 18 years old that live in the temple, and they have these little balls full of nails, and the men will beat themselves with them so that they're bleeding to try to get a ghost to enter their body so that they could tell your fortune. So there were two ways to get to the bus stop from the school. You can walk down the stairs all the way through the temple, and it was right there, or you can walk all the way around the mountain. Well, I hated going in the temple, so I would walk all the way around the mountain. But my roommate said, Eileen, you're a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Where you go, you take the Spirit of the Lord with you. We need to go through the temple. And so she said she would always go through the temple. So I started to do that. And I found that as I was going through, instead of just saying this is awful and trying not to look, I started to pray. Pray for God's spirit, for the parents who are doing bye-bye or wanting a fortune teller, that they would know more hope than that, because that's the only hope they knew. And I started to take responsibility for that and say, Lord, send me in places in Taiwan where your spirit needs to be. Instead of saying, I don't want to be there, that's awful, that's dark, send me there. And so the Lord helped me to start see how important it is to be aware of God's presence in our life. But, excuse me, so the deep things of God, we invite the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the depth of wisdom that he freely gives us. So Paul says that wisdom that comes from the Spirit, the wisdom in the depths of God, is free to all of us. And we invite the Holy Spirit to reveal the heart of God that transcends head knowledge and gives us the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God, again, look foolish to people outside of a relationship with God. But we invite that. We don't care if we look foolish. We invite the Holy Spirit to reveal the relevance of what we learn to the great idea. So going to class and looking at the syllabus and thinking, you know, if I'm honest, the center of the class is my grade. Everything I do is for my grade. What if we said, no, the center of the class is the great idea, and I am a servant to the great idea. So everything I read, even the boring stuff, even the stuff that I have to get 3 dictionaries to look up those words, even that I want to offer to the Holy Spirit to help me see the relevance of God's mission in it. And we offer back to God what we learn so that we may be participants in his mission, right? So everything we learn, everything I learn, I want to give back to God. What do you want me to do with this? How can I participate in your mission? But I'm lazy, remember? Are there any shortcuts to having to read all this? Now, when I lived in Taiwan, I was 40 years old when I really started studying Chinese. Chinese is really, really hard. There's tones, and if you sat by me while we were singing, I don't have very good tones. And I would go to school every day, and I sounded like a child. And I remember, you know, to have to, if I wanted to ask a question of my teacher, I would have to say, can I ask you a question? So I would say, Qing Wen, instead of Qing Wen. Sounds the same, right? Qing Wen means please kiss me. Qing Wen means can I ask you a question? And my teacher would say, today your goal is to not ask me to kiss you. I'm like, oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. So after I was studying there for 5 months, and I was I needed to study for 2.5 years. And I would just think, I can't talk to anyone. I can't do this. I would come home and cry. And one night, while I was sleeping, I heard a mosquito, and it was buzzing my ear. So I woke up, and I turned on the light, and I got my mosquito zapper. So I'm looking for the mosquito, and I thought for a minute, you know, this is ridiculous. What if God is just waiting for me to have enough faith? I feel like I'm wasting my time here. What if I just ask him to give me the gift of Chinese, just wake up and be able to speak it fluently, and then I could hurry up and get busy with ministry? But he's waiting for me to have enough faith. What if he uses this, and I touch my tongue to it like Pentecost, and it would immediately give me the gift of tongues, and then we can prove all the Pentecostals are wrong, and tongues is languages, and Jesus is just waiting for me to have enough faith. Do I believe? Do I believe? Well, there's no battery, so don't worry. And I thought, well, is it going to hurt? So I touched my finger, and it hurt. And it was much bigger than this, and it hurt all the way down to my elbow. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, you really are lazy. You always look for a shortcut. Go to sleep tomorrow, get up, and go to class and learn Chinese. And so I found that sometimes we look for a shortcut, right? And I've spoken to many students who are called to ministry, called to missions, and they don't understand why they have to take certain courses or have to, they would say, waste time when there are people out in the world who need to know about Jesus. Why do they have to study so hard? And so I share the story with them because when I was taking Chinese courses, I got to know my professors there. I got to know about their lives and pray for them because it's a journey, right? And the mission of God is not out there sometimes, it's right in front of us. And so in your classes and as you study, don't take my example to be a lazy student. Think about, and don't try to find the shortcut. Think about that what you are learning, what you are reading, what you are writing, what the professor is saying to you is all part of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And we may be tempted to take a shortcut, to take some other paper and use it in not a good way, or to say we did more than we actually did because we think the center is our grade. But when we give back to God what we've learned, we want to give back to him many things for him to use for his mission. So there's a writer named Stephen Garber who talked about in our vocation, in our job, every day we learn something new. So today you know something different than you knew yesterday. And he would say, we need to ask ourselves this question every day. Now that you know what you know, what does God want you to do with it? So the Holy Spirit will not allow us to be apathetic. Apathetic means I don't care, I don't want to care, right? The Holy Spirit is active and energizes us to see that there's relevance in everything we learn. So if you have the mind of, I just don't care, I want to get my degree and get out, then there's no room for the Holy Spirit to work. The Holy Spirit will not allow us to be cynical, right? Cynical means negative, and we don't see a positive side. Cynicism stifles transcendence. The Holy Spirit invites us to transcend the wisdom of the world and be agents of hope and love. So we transcend into the world and above the world as his agents. So we cannot be so cynical about what we are learning or even about the world. The Holy Spirit helps us to take responsibility for the way the world is and allows us to take what we learn and be God's agents of change. So I've been very impressed with all the ministries that I've been hearing about from this school, the child development centers, the compassionate ministries, the ministries you're involved in the local church. We have to take responsibility for the way the world is, for the way the environment looks, for the conditions it's in. But we don't stop there, because if we take responsibility and say, I'm part of the problem, then we give permission to the Holy Spirit to use us as part of the mission to reconcile the world back to God. So this is a quote from the Visions of Vocation. We know in our deepest places how hard it is to keep our eyes open to the complexity of the broken world around us, to keep feeling the pains of a world that is not the way it's supposed to be, and knowing the difficulty, choosing to engage it rather than being numbed by it. So as you study, as you stay up all night, write those papers, read those books, it's all so that you can be engaged in the mission of God in a way that is not saying that I'm numbed by it, that I don't want to know about it, but a way that's saying, here I am, God, use me, use what I know today. So a different motivation to learn is that we have the mission of God, God reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit energizing us. And it's not after we graduate, it's today. So now that you know what you know, and now that I know what I know, how is the Holy Spirit going to use me today as an agent of the mission of God? Where can I step in and bring hope and love? How can I use the books and things that I'm learning today to help the world see that God is speaking, that God is real? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Spirit. What an amazing gift that you give us, your presence with us always. Sometimes, Father, we focus on things that that take our eyes off of you, even if they seem like good things, even if it's discipline to study, even if it's things that that we think are going to equip us for future ministry. But help us, Father, especially myself, to understand that you want to use your wisdom that you are cultivating in us through this knowledge for your glory, for your mission. Help us to be agents of your mission. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.